We have two dogs in our home. Aria is a 2-year-old puppy who definitely needs help with her portions. And Nala is a 10-year-old dog who is living a great life, and we want to keep feeding her well so she can hang in there with us for a lot longer. The Farmer's Dog makes it easy to keep them healthy, which can give you more quality years with them. The Farmer's Dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food. It's recommended by vets, nutritionally balanced, and made from human-grade ingredients in safe, clean kitchens. It's the best option for dogs at all life stages. It doesn't matter if your dog is young or old. It's always the right time to begin investing in their health, helping you live more healthy, happy, and full years together. You can get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/vanished. Let the Farmer's Dog know we sent you. Use our code or click podcast after you sign up for your first box.
Hey, Tenderfoot listeners. I'm Liam Luxon, host of Status Untraced, a new podcast brought to you from the team behind Up and Vanished. It follows my investigation into the disappearance of Justin Alexander, a survivalist and world traveler whose life seemed like it was torn from the pages of an adventure novel. While some of Justin's friends and family believe he may have been murdered, it's not clear what actually happened. And a message he left behind just days before he vanished makes everything about his disappearance just strange. Check out this clip featuring one of Justin's friends and their recollection of their final conversation with him.
It was one thing that kind of made me feel weird about whenever he'd talk about his plans for India. And the more I've thought about it, especially over the years, it almost seemed like he was preparing for something because he wanted to be famous. He made that openly clear, like that was his end goal.
When you hear the message Justin left behind, when you hear about the remote and dangerous area where he went missing, when you learn about how the suspects and the police's efforts in this case all quietly started to fade away, you won't be able to stop wondering, what happened? From Tenderfoot TV, Status Untraced is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, or subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus to binge the entire season ad-free. Learn more at tenderfootplus.com.
In today's episode, I'm going to review those dispatch logs again.
She mentioned them, but I don't know if they were done because she got called out.
Dispatch logs?
I've got to go through them, but I'm having to work the radio tonight.
Dispatch logs.
I have them ready, but the thing is, you're going to have a certain size paper to be able to receive these.
Those dispatch logs. The most important part about these logs is anything pertaining to Sean Fletcher, because according to Marcus Harper, they both rode around in the cop car on the night of Tara's disappearance. Today I'm going to break down these dispatch logs in detail and go over every call that night. This is Case Evidence. Each entry in these dispatch logs has a time and a radio signal TIN code. These TIN codes are what the officers use to communicate. You're probably familiar with TIN-4, which means understood. A lot of these codes are universal, but sometimes they can vary with different precincts. Each code has a different meaning, and there can be a lot of them. So just to be safe, I spoke to an actual Osceola police officer who deciphered each code in the log for me. He wished not to be named. There were two Osceola police officers on duty that night, Sean Fletcher and Shane Kissling. On the logs, they are referred to by their badge numbers. Sean Fletcher is 016, and Shane Kissling is 06. Both officers worked an overnight shift. They started at 8 p.m. and got off at 6 a.m. The first call for Sean Fletcher that night is at 11:18 p.m., radio signal 1055, which meant that there was a broken down vehicle. Both officers responded to this call, and by 11:30 p.m., they were done. The next call for Sean Fletcher was at 11:46 p.m., radio signal 1059, which means standby for business closing. This was at a grocery store called Harvey's in Osceola. Again, both Officer Fletcher and Kissling were here, and they left by 11:54 p.m. The next call for Fletcher was at 12:16 a.m., radio signal 1038, which meant a traffic stop. It lasted just a few minutes, and he left by 12:23 a.m. From this point forward, Sean Fletcher's whereabouts become extremely important, because according to Marcus, he left the White Horse Saloon shortly after 1 a.m. to go meet up with Sean Fletcher. Fletcher's next call on the dispatch logs was almost an hour and a half later, at 1:46 a.m., saying that he's downtown. Radio signal 1084. According to the Osceola officer I spoke to, this means special detail, like checking buildings or taking a break to eat dinner. For this call, there is no departure time listed. I called Maurice to chime in about Marcus Harper's alibi.
1:49 a.m., Fletcher was checking doors in downtown Osceola when he received a call from dispatcher telling him that Harper was looking for him, and they joined up. See, really, there should be a dispatch call to Fletcher around 1:49 to come to the station that Harper was searching for him.
In Marcus Harper's alibi, he never called Sean Fletcher directly. He called the police station. Then the dispatcher called Sean Fletcher and told him Marcus was looking for him. But that whole thing didn't exist in these logs. At least not like that. There's only one call around that time, and it's from Fletcher to the dispatcher at 1:46 a.m., stating that he's downtown. The problem is, it's not from the dispatcher. It's from Fletcher. Either way, giving it the benefit of the doubt, let's assume that this call is the one where he learns Marcus Harper's looking for him. If the call was at 1:46 a.m., that means that the first time they would have met up would be around 5 to 10 minutes later, around 2 a.m.
I mean, if he left the bar at 1 o'clock, he would be in Osceola at 10 past 1. I would say that Harper was probably back in, supposedly he was back in Osceola, say 1:15 at the most. So between 1:15 and, say, 2 o'clock, you don't know where Harper is. Where was Harper? I mean, that's almost 50 minutes. I mean, this was early in the morning, so he wasn't. Where was he? There's no record of Harper even being in any of these calls. I mean, I don't care if you're a former cop there or whatever. It should have been on record that you had a civilian with you for liability. Even if you believe their timeline with him with it, there's a 50 minutes to an hour that is not accounted for. So, you could do a lot in an hour. Fletcher supposedly doesn't know where he's at because he hadn't called yet. And if he left the club earlier than 1, say he left the club, say 20 minutes to 1, you got an hour 15, hour and 20 minutes there.
Either way you slice it, there's a pretty big time gap there. Let's take a look at the Benny Merritt incidents. These are the calls that Sean Fletcher supposedly responded to while Marcus Harper was with him. There's two calls for Benny Merritt on these dispatch logs. The first was at 2:08 a.m., and the second was at 2:49 a.m.
But now, the one at the 111 South Apricot Street, that did not involve Fletcher. Fletcher was not involved in that call.
On the first call for Benny Merritt, at 2:08 a.m., Sean Fletcher wasn't there. The only officer that responded was Shane Kissling. At 2:49 a.m., the next Benny Merritt call, Sean Fletcher was there, and so was Shane Kissling. This means the first time anyone could have seen Sean Fletcher and Marcus Harper together was 2:49, almost 2 hours after he left the White Horse Saloon.
I'm going to tell you, if it wasn't for the Fletcher stuff, I'm talking about being with Fletcher and all that kind of thing, he would be in serious trouble.
I've posted these dispatch logs for you to check out yourself. Just go to upandvanish.com/discussion. Thanks for listening to Case Evidence. Here's a sneak preview of Episode 9, coming out next Monday.
This is in the email, too, written by her. She found out about the 18-year-old girl he was dating. She said that he looked me in the eyes and said 3 times, "It's over. It's over. It's over."
He actually walked her down the steps at 11 o'clock that night because they were watching the Georgia game over at his house. He walked her down the steps at 11 o'clock and nobody's seen her since.
There's a lot of weird stuff. Really scary stuff.
Why, hello there. Welcome to Radio Rental. If you're new around here and haven't heard, I'm your host, Terry Carnation. On Radio Rental, we play tapes of the scariest true stories you've ever heard. That's right, we've got real scary stories told by the people that actually experienced them. We've got stories of paranormal peril, near-death experiences, stitches in the space-time continuum, and more. Stories like these.
This person was looking for me. They start to take these long strides towards me. I was freaking out.
We started seeing it everywhere we went. It would be sitting there watching us.
I've never ran so fast in my life.
And it's all set right here at Radio Rental, the video rental shop of your worst nightmares. Radio Rental is available now. Listen 1 week early and ad-free on Tenderfoot Plus.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.